Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for our weekly Powering Your Property segment. Australian home prices fell in May for the first time in almost a year as a result of lockdowns implemented to curb the spread of COVID-19. According to CoreLogic data released today, property values across the state and territory capitals fell 0.5% last month, the first decline since June 2019. In another report released earlier this year, Real Capital Analytics said that Asia-Pacific real estate investment volumes nosedived in the first quarter and that deal activity plunged to levels seen during the global financial crisis. But are there still pockets of opportunity in the sector? Well, we're joined by David Greenmorgan, Managing Director for APAC at Real Capital Analytics, to find out. David, first I'd like to ask you, what kind of numbers are we looking at for the first part of the year?
The first quarter across commercial investment markets around Asia Pacific was down just about 50% in comparison to what we saw this time last year, which is obviously a big fall in terms of transaction activity. We've had a fairly consistent run-up in activity over the last 8 to 10 years, but this decline, certainly in percentage terms, is similar to what we saw during the global financial crisis as well. So that's the sort of downturn that we're looking at across the region at the moment.
And maybe you can share with us which geographies have been particularly worse affected by what's been happening.
Well, it was pretty widespread across Asia Pacific, actually. I mean, Hong Kong and Singapore saw the two biggest declines for the first quarter, you know, over 50% declines. Japan, Australia, China also down quite considerably, which is understandable because, you know, most of these economies went into lockdown or some level of lockdown during the first quarter. And of course, the build-up had been quite consistent during January and February as well. So it's no surprise, really. I think what we're looking at now is what's going to be the stimulus for the recovery across the region.
And so what kind of perspective are investors taking? Would you say it's mainly a wait-and-see approach as they sift out any potential pockets of opportunity?
Yeah, I think if you're a seller, you're almost certainly trying to take a wait-and-see approach and hoping that you can get through this, what everybody hopes is a short, sharp downturn, but that the recovery will start to come through fairly strongly as well. So, you know, sellers are trying to keep hold of their buildings and manage their tenants as best they can through this situation. If you've got money to spend, then obviously you're looking for buildings where you may be able to get a discount to what you may have paid maybe 6 or 9 months ago. So, you know, unfortunately, in this sort of scenario, you tend to see the markets drop quite sharply because the gap between what the buyer and the seller are looking for tends to widen at this point. And once that starts to come back and narrows, that's when we'll start to see a pickup in transactional activity.
And looking at deals transacted, are these mainly from global or regional investors? And how is that trend different from past years?
So usually when the market slows down severely, as we've seen over the first five months or so of the year, it's the global and the regional investors tend to pull back more than domestic investors would. And that's what we've seen in terms of transaction activity. So you tend to see those investors who are most comfortable in their own market continuing to transact because they obviously potentially understand their markets better. And it's the global and regional investors that tend to sort of maybe take their foot off the gas a little bit. Although actually up to this point in the year, we have still seen quite a bit of transactional deal making done by the global and regional investors, but not quite at the levels that we've been used to over the last few years.
And speaking of sectors as well, which sectors are they looking at? I mean, I saw from your report that industrial is still holding strong. Do you see this trend continuing?
Yes, I think so. You know, industrial has been the investors' favourite over the last 5 or 6 years now, as the move to online retail has, you know, increased the demand for these distribution and warehouse facilities. And obviously during this pandemic, a lot of the essential services rely very heavily on industrial facilities like supermarkets and the online retailers and so on and so forth. So we still see that sector as being very sought after as we move through the next few months. But obviously, if the economies do go into quite a deep recession, then at that point, you know, all sectors suffer to a greater or lesser degree. So I think we would start to see some level of pullback even in the industrial sector. But at the moment, you know, the two sectors that are really being hit the hardest have been retail and hospitality, where, you know, governments unfortunately have had to shut many of those facilities down to protect the wider populations.
We're speaking to David Green-Morgan, Managing Director for APAC at Real Capital Analytics. Now, David, let's look more closely at regional trends in terms of particular markets. And in your report, you mentioned that South Korea has been a standout market. Can you tell us why?
Yes. South Korea really bucked the trend. All of the major Asian economies in terms of transaction activity really sank in the first quarter, but South Korea grew by about 12% from a year ago. I think there's a number of factors. The momentum in the market was pretty strong coming into 2020, and we certainly saw that in the first couple of months, even though, you know, the number of virus cases in Korea started to really increase, I guess, during March. Transaction activity still continued to push on. Also, you know, South Koreans have been exporting a lot of capital in the last few years, and I think the fact that they were unable to go to Europe and the US and the parts of the region meant that they probably focused a little bit more on their domestic market in the first quarter. And so all of that sort of helped keep the momentum going in South Korea. I think, unfortunately, the second quarter volumes for South Korea are not going to be as standout as the first quarter. I think they've been dragged back into the pack a little bit. So I suspect when we get to the end of this quarter, they won't be quite as dynamic as they were in the first.
And so what kind of trends are you looking at then for the second quarter? What do we know so far?
I think what we're, you know, trying to identify is more of the economies loosen the restrictions, obviously at different paces around the world. I think we're starting to see the recovery coming through in China. Now, last month, we saw a few more land transactions. The residential market was a bit more buoyant, and we're starting to see that come through in the commercial area as well. Obviously, Australia and New Zealand are two other countries that have started to lift their restrictions. So, you know, in contrast to what we're seeing in Europe and America, which is obviously still very much in the grip of the virus, here in Asia Pacific, we're hopeful that, you know, these restrictions can be lifted and the economy can start to get back to normal quicker than other parts of the world. And that should help to translate into a more dynamic investment market as we move through the year.
David, one market that I really wanted to ask you about, and that's Hong Kong, because obviously we've seen quite huge headlines coming out of China and also Hong Kong in the last 2 weeks. Now, despite appearing to handle the virus setback well, investment still plummeted 85% from the same period last year, taking a look at your report, and cross-border investment even flows from China, your report said, had largely ceased. Political unrest, as we've seen in the last week, has started to resurface. Where are prices now, and do you think they can sink any lower?
Yes, unfortunately, you know, Hong Kong being barraged by negative headlines at the moment, not just in the region, but around the world as well, which is obviously giving a very negative impression. And you're right, transactional volumes have really sunk over the last 6 to 9 months, with prices following suit. And unfortunately, I think, you know, pricing, according to RCA's estimate, is down about 20% across the commercial markets at the moment. And I think until we see a meaningful pickup in transaction activity, those prices may well drift further down over the next few months, you know, until the news out of Hong Kong starts to pick up and maybe some of the economic numbers start to pick up. I guess one of the bright points is that they have managed to navigate through the virus pretty successfully, and, you know, most businesses are open and people are back to work in Hong Kong.
Looking into the future, David, based on what we've learned from the past and the trends in the latest report, how do you see the market evolving as we look a little further afield, perhaps even until we'll look into 2021? What are some of the key indicators that you're going to be looking out for in the year ahead?
I think over the next couple of quarters, it will be to see what sort of prices are achieved by the sellers in the market moving forward, those transactions that do happen, because that will give a good indication of just how much prices have dropped in various cities around the region. And we'll also encourage the buyers in terms of, okay, these are levels at which we're comfortable about coming back into the market and doing a few more transactions. So that will be very important. If there's one lesson we learned from the financial crisis of 10 years ago, it's that those cities and sectors which are able to adjust the quickest often recover the quickest as well. So where people can start to see opportunities, that will be where the market starts to pick up some activity as we move through the next couple of quarters.
So David, looking at the region and looking forward, is there a particular sector and geography that you're particularly excited about?
Well, I think, you know, Chinese logistics is somewhere that we've been monitoring for quite a while. Coming back to this industrial theme that we touched on a little earlier in terms of how those sectors are developing, and an awful lot of capital has been raised to be invested into Chinese logistics. So I think that is one area that could really blossom as we move through the year, because obviously the Chinese economy seems to be recovering relatively well at the moment. And of course, investors will always be targeting those countries where economic growth looks as if it's going to be stronger than maybe some other countries.
Well, a bright spot there. So, David, that's all we've got time for today. And thank you so much for all your insights. It's been really interesting.
That's okay. My pleasure.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3, and we've been speaking to David Greenmorgan, Managing Director for APAC at Real Capital Analytics.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.